in this moving episode of the Gospel, in which we see our Lord Jesus Christ weeping over Jerusalem, there are two things to understand from it. The one is the obstinacy of the sins of the people of Jerusalem, that they would draw our Lord to feel so sad over the future events of Jerusalem, namely, that the Romans would come and lay siege to the city and inflict upon it a terrible suffering. And even more so, that because of this obstinacy in sin, these people would be condemned to hell. But there is also another side to this gospel that is often neglected, and that is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for men, and especially for sinners. For at the sight of Jerusalem, he is so moved that he breaks down in tears over the city. This is not the reaction of an angry judge. Rather, this is the reaction of someone who has a very, very tender love for these people. He weeps over them in the same way that a mother would weep for her dead children. The qualities of Christ's love for men are twofold. In the first place, it is tender. And in the second place, it is strong. Christ's love is tender because it is truly an affectionate and emotional love. Our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man. And as true man, he is capable of the same affectionate love as we. And because his heart is purified of all disordered self-love, his affections are at the same time very elevated and very intense. Now, ordinary human love is very often tender, but at the same time, very often superficial. What usually incites affectionate human love are the superficial qualities of those whom we love. In this way, we see people fall in love with each other, and yes, they are affectionate to each other, but often their attraction is concerning things which are very light and very passing. That is not true of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. His affectionate love is a deep love, for it concerns primarily the souls of men and their eternal salvation. This is what he sees through his divine intellect in the people in Jerusalem, the state of their souls, and the ultimate punishment for the state of their souls. And this is what draws him to weep, to break down in tears. And this is a deep, tender love in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And far from being confined to certain favorites, this Sacred Heart of Jesus carries his love to everyone without exception. We see the examples of the tenderness of Christ's love in the Gospel. He portrays himself in the parables as the prodigal son, rather as the father of the prodigal son, who receives his son back with great forgiveness and joy, as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, again, as the shepherd who goes out and finds the lost sheep in the bramble bush and who says, "There is more rejoicing in heaven over the return of one sinner than there is over the 99 just not in need of repentance." He is kind and forgiving to the adulterous woman and protects her from being stoned to death. He is most kind to Saint Mary Magdalene, who bursts into the home of the Pharisee and floods his feet with her tears for her sins. He is kind to the Samaritan woman, even though she is loaded with sin with her 5 boyfriends. He is kind to the good thief and admits him to heaven with the reassuring words, "Behold, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise," even after he only showed him a spark of faith and of contrition. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he intercedes on the cross for his persecutors. He forgives the Jews who are standing in front of him, mocking him. And he even intercedes for the Roman centurion Longinus, who put the lance through his heart, that he receive the grace of conversion. For it says in the Gospel that when he saw all of the earthquakes and the darkening of the sky, he said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." And this Saint Longinus was the one who brought the vial of the blood of Christ to Italy, where it is now venerated and adored, and whose statue graces the main altar of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The love, then, of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the standard of all human love. For it is completely subject to divine charity in the first place, totally ordered, and in the second place, it is not exceeded by the love of anyone. No one loves us more than Christ. In fact, Christ loves us more than we love ourselves. You all know that in you is a very strong self-love. And this self-love is necessary and just and correct. It is placed there by God, for we have the obligation of seeing to our own needs, especially our eternal salvation, and to our temporal needs. The downfall of man is the excess of this self-love. It is this which contracts his heart and makes it cold. It is this excess of self-love which draws each man to be unto himself a god, that is, the center of the universe, to which all things, including people around him, must submit. It is this self-love, this excessive self-love, which condemns the soul to hell, and which is the fuel of the fires of hell. But for those things that we desire for ourselves legitimately, our Lord desires them more for ourselves than we desire them ourselves. He loves us more than we love ourselves. This is why we say in the Litany of the Sacred Heart, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all hearts, have mercy on us. For his heart is the supreme heart, his love is the supreme love. But our Lord's love is more than just tender. It is also strong. The strength of love is its willingness to self-sacrifice. If our Lord had merely wept over Jerusalem, but had been willing to do nothing about it, then his love would have been a mere passing affection. But his tender love is efficacious. And he does something about it. He delivers himself to be crucified for these very people who are obstinate in sin. He gives himself to the ultimate self-sacrifice and lets this sacred heart of his, which beats and for the love of these people and for the whole human race, and which is now in this gospel saddened and burdened at the sight of the sin of these people, permits this heart to be pierced by a lance and to open the floodgates of forgiveness of sin and the love of God on the world. We see the strength of his love, then, in his willingness to accept the cross for all mankind. He consented to take the loathsome chalice of Gethsemane, the chalice that was filled with the sins of men of all ages, putrid, stinking with sin, and he gave back to us by the strength of his love the chalice of his precious blood, which we raise daily on our altars, the chalice of benediction, the chalice of the forgiveness of sin, the blood of Christ which washes away sin in baptism and in the sacrament of penance. The chalice of consolation to sinners who know that the blood of Christ is always there to take away their sins. The pledge of the strength of the love of God for men, the blessed sacrament of the altar. This is the measure of the strength of Christ's love. This love of Christ that we see in the gospel today should be then a consolation to us. It should inspire the just to love him more tenderly and with greater generosity of soul, to pray more to him, to come to him, be friends with him in the Blessed Sacrament, and to give over themselves over to greater sacrifice, to greater patience, to greater submission to the will of God, to the more patient bearing of crosses, to the offering up of oneself for the conversion of sinners, as he did. And to sinners, it should be their inspiration to return to Jesus without the slightest fear or hesitation. As Christ weeps over Jerusalem, what would have consoled him more than the sight of even a few of its inhabitants coming to him with a spirit of penance? Would he not have embraced them and wept tears of joy to see even a few return to him and regard him as their true God and Messiah? So also, when you sin, he weeps over your soul. And he desires nothing more than that you come to him. What is there that we find in the weeping Jesus that would hold us back from him? It teaches us also not to languish over human love. Human beings become very concerned about love. Who loves them? How much are they loved? Does my wife love me? Does my husband love me? Do my children love me? Do my friends love me? Why can I not find someone to love me? Why have I been cursed with a spouse that does not love me? These are things that run through the minds of men and preoccupy them, so much so that even if someone is in great poverty, or is afflicted with great pain in disease, if he has the knowledge that he is faithfully and loyally loved by his family and friends, he is filled with joy. And the contrary is true, that even if you are blessed with abundant riches and are in good health, and from the worldly point of view, have everything, and you do not have someone to love you, loyally and faithfully. You are miserable. We should not languish over human love. For no matter how excellent our friends or family should be, no matter how loyal, no matter how tender their love, no matter how persevering, they will always fail us because of their human weakness. And even if they did not ever fail us, they are not capable of giving us the extent and intensity of love that our souls need. The only true consolation of love comes from God. Only God can fill our hearts with joy, unending joy, and perfect joy. And this weeping Christ of the gospel today is an attestation of this love that he has for us. And rather than worry about the passing human love, which always ends in death, rather, let us concern ourselves with the love of Christ that does not end in death, but rather culminates in death. The love of Christ for us does not terminate with our death, but rather opens up in the beatific vision, in an eternal embrace with him in heaven. These are the lasting values of human beings. It is to this love that we are called, not to the love of the flesh or to the passing consolations of this life, as noble as they may be. It is this love that we find in the chalice of our Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood that will make us joyful and happy forever. And it is this love, it is on this love that we must fix our sights and order our priorities. And if we do that, we will find peace in the love of Christ, permanent, joyful peace that the world cannot give. That is why St. Paul says in his epistle to the Ephesians, which the church takes for the epistle of the feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, May you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.